This morning, I'm very privileged to speak on the title, Be Drunk with the Spirit. Be drunk with the Spirit. Amen. And our main text is taken from the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 13 to 41. It's a very lengthy text, but we'll take them as we go by. Beloved in Christ, I wish all that are gathered here in one way or the other might have something that, supposing Christ is to appear physically here, we might want to probably ask him. There could be something that you don't understand, that you wish that Christ is to appear physically for you to ask him that specific thing. Or maybe you are going through some challenge in life. You are going through some difficulties in life, and you wish Jesus Christ is to be alive. Just as people had a person-to-person contact with him, you could also have that person-to-person contact with him and then probably ask him to resolve that issue for you. I personally have that situation at heart. But then, if you are also here with that same cry, with that same expectation, then I may say that this particular message that we are going to hear is for us. The message that we are about to hear today is for people that probably have been yearning to have Jesus on a one-to-one base and probably talk to him about an issue, about something that they want his intervention. Jesus Christ said in the book of John, chapter 16, verse 7, that I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost will not come to you. It is to your advantage, it is to my advantage, that our Lord Jesus Christ leave the body, leave and then go, leave the earth and go. For if that does not happen, I wonder how the world would have looked like. Could you imagine for a second that we have just 20 million people that are believers on earth? And Jesus Christ is to be in the flesh and blood and be alive at the moment and probably be stationed in Israel, to be specific, maybe Galilee. And all these 20 million people needs the attention of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in a year. How many, or maybe what's going to be the time duration that one may be apportioned to have with Christ? Supposing Christ would not have any time for anything, but just to be there 24/7 for the 20 million people. With a little mathematics, you realize that the number of seconds that we have in the whole year is probably a little above 31.5 million seconds. And if you are to divide the 20 million by the 31.5 million seconds, each person is likely to have just 1.5 seconds as time duration to talk with Christ in a year. And should that be? Would that be enough? Now, let's assume that the number has doubled to 40 million believers on earth, and they all need Christ's attention in a year. How would that be? That's going to be 0.75 seconds. Inadequately small. It's very, very small. And so Christ said, it is expedient that I go. It is to your advantage that I go, that the Comforter, the Helper, the Holy Ghost will come. Because we have not even thought about, for example, I'm a Ghanaian. I'm from Ghana. So if I'm a Christian, I'm from Ghana and I want to meet Christ, I need to fly all the way to Israel. I'll need to arrange my hotel, the cost involved, getting the visa. And should Christ have been around at that time, you know, we have so many languages. My local dialect is just a few people that knows. And probably he may be speaking Hebrew. That means I need to hire an interpreter. Or probably go and learn Hebrew myself. Another challenge is that I need to get myself located to where it will be so close to him, so that when the door goes, that is Glenn's time, I can quickly be there. Because I have just a short time. So all these are possible challenges that in case or should Christ have been around, if you are yearning for that opportunity, begin to think about how clumsy that situation is going to be. But then he knows ahead of time, and therefore he had made in place somebody that will be there with us everywhere. Somebody that will be there with us anytime. You have no time challenges. You have no geographical challenges. You have no monetary challenges. Financial challenges are not to be counted if the Spirit of God is in you. You can talk to God anytime, anywhere, as long as you want. And so Christ said, it's expedient that I go. That when I go, the Comforter, the Helper, the Holy Ghost will come. Shall we come before the Lord in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, once again, we are grateful unto you. We thank you for this very morning. Father, as it has pleased you, Lord, for us to see this day, and Lord God, to be given the strength and the ability not to be wandering around, but Lord, to be found under your feet. Lord, we humbly seek that may our gathering here not be for a waste, not be for just fun, but Lord, may we encounter you by the power of your Holy Spirit, that our lives will never be the same. Use your word that you are about to use today to explain and to give meaning of yourself to the lives that are gathered here, that our life will never be the same. We thank you, our Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Beloved in Christ, this spirit that we are talking about is the Spirit of the living God. The Spirit of God is the third person in Trinity. He is a person. The Bible says he can be grieved. He can be lied to. He can be offended. He's a comforter. He's a teacher. He's a helper. He has all attributes as the Father, as the Son, as the Holy Ghost. As he is the Holy Ghost, sorry. And so he is somebody that feels the pain as you feel the pain. He's somebody that gets worried as you get worried. Because we grieve him, we make him to get worried. And so the Bible made it very clear that through the Holy Spirit, in the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, God created the heavens and the earth. And in the book of Acts chapter 4 verse 8, through the presence of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our lives, the work of God, the kingdom business, had continued to this very day. Through the presence of the Holy Ghost in our hearts and in our lives, the work of God keeps going forward. The kingdom keeps on triumphing. That is the power in the Holy Spirit. For everywhere the Holy Spirit is publicly displayed, there is a new creation, there is a new order, just as it happened in Genesis chapter 1. And in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, and the same Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, Jesus saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly there was a voice from heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Upon the coming of the Holy Ghost, like a dove upon our Lord Jesus Christ, there was a public declaration, an announcement of who our Lord Jesus Christ is. There was a new order that took place. Something that the people at that moment have not heard, have not seen before. God spoke and confirmed his word about the Son. And in the same Matthew, the chapter 4, verse 1, it also indicates that just after that, the Spirit of God led our Lord Jesus Christ into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Also another kind of dimension. The Spirit that came to announce our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, giving the seal of God's approval over his life, the same Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted. A challenge that came as the Spirit of God came upon our Lord Jesus Christ. And in our text today, in Acts chapter 2, we are also going to see the new order, the apostolic order that began as a result of the coming of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. On that same day that that apostolic order was ushered in, the first apostolic sermon after the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ and the encounter with the Holy Ghost was delivered. And that is our text for today. The disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, numbering about 120, were all together waiting for the promise in the upper room. When the Holy Spirit came finally, they were filled with a tongue of fire. And they began to speak in languages, even though they were not natives of those languages. They were people from Galilee. The people who heard them were confused and thought that they were drunk at such an early hour of the day. The Spirit of God creates new tongues in the lives of these people. They were filled with new power to do the extraordinary things. Things that blows our mind, that beats our understanding. Today, I pray that as we are gathered here, the Spirit of God will visit us openly and create new things in our lives. New things in our families, in our businesses, and every facet of our lives. That the onlookers, the people that probably are looking at us, thinking that probably we are also drunk, will have no answer than to say that yes, they are drunk. But in this time, not being drunk with new wine, but we are drunk with the Spirit. We are drunk with the Spirit of our living God. Moving on to our text for today. For the sake of time, I wouldn't go to the main text, but then you can do reference in your own time or as we go along. And the main important part, I'll be bringing them out as we go. Beloved in Christ, the first apostolic sermon preached by Apostle Peter on that day of Pentecost, to me, had been partitioned into three sections. And the very first section was the prophecy of the Holy Spirit. The prophecy of the Holy Spirit. The people who were then mocking the 120 were familiar with only the order of the Old Covenant ministry. Therefore, for Apostle Peter to make sense to them about what they were witnessing, there was a need for inferring into what was written about them in the Old Covenant. What was written about them in the Old Testament. And what does that say about what they were witnessing? The new covenant order that the people were witnessing. And therefore, Apostle Peter established the connection between the old and then the new covenant ministry. He said, they were not drunk with new wine as they perceived. But in otherwise, Apostle Peter was saying that they were drunk with the Holy Spirit. Because it was out of the outpouring of the Spirit of God over their life that made them drunk. And so they were not drunk with new wine. They were drunk with the Spirit of the living God. And that is what we are encouraged in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18. That and do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Be drunk with the Spirit. Being filled with new wine exposes one to mockery and discontent. But when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, it leads us to empowerment to become ministers of God's new covenant in this end time. We become empowered like Apostle Peter. And so Apostle Peter referred back to Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to 32. That was where he referred the people to, that this thing that they are witnessing is something that was foretold in the old covenant. And so he brought that into mind. And in our text and in Joel, the Bible says specifically that in the last days, what and when is this last days all about? In the last days. So in this particular situation, in the last days is basically an indicator of a season of the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we get to know that particular day or the last days on the day that God poured out his Spirit upon all flesh. The start, supposing there was nothing to show us when the last days are going to start or when the last days are, there is at least one indicator here. That is, he said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And so upon that prophecy, when they had that encounter, it marked the beginning of the last days, if you had no idea. And so the countdown to the last days began on that day of Pentecost. Beloved in Christ, the Bible also continued to make emphasis that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. God said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And here, all flesh means all people. He is going to do that by himself. And that was exactly what was demonstrated on that day of Pentecost. All the people in the upper room experienced the outpouring of the Spirit of God. As a result of that, they became very different. They never became the same. The Spirit gave them power. New energy was created in them. And they were able to stand and do exploits unto our living God. Therefore, in our text today, we are going to look at three main signs that were seen upon the arrival of the Holy Ghost, both in the prophecy and that which they witnessed at that very moment. And so the very first thing is, men shall be empowered. And that could be found in the verse 17 to 18. All men shall receive power to do extraordinary things. And here, Apostle Peter could be our example. Before this particular time, we all know that he is the person that could not stand with Christ and denied Christ 3 times on the day of his arrest. On that night he was arrested, he denied Christ 3 times. And here is the same person, upon receiving the power of the Holy Ghost, stepped up into the church leadership and began to teach the people as what they were witnessing was all of. Well, the thing that they were witnessing, what it was about. We all know Apostle Peter, he is just a fisherman. He is not the person that went, maybe was trained as a Pharisee or maybe a Sadducee. But he is just a lay fisherman. Unlearned fisherman. But he was full of power. He was full of wisdom. He was full of knowledge. And was able to draw the connection between the old covenant ministry and the new covenant ministry together to make sense to the people that thought that they were mad. Beloved in Christ, Apostle Peter received power to function in the end time new covenant ministry. Just like what was prophesied in Joel and in our text, the verse 17 indicates that sons and daughters, they will receive the Spirit of God to prophesy. Young men will receive the Spirit to see vision. Old men will receive the Spirit to dream dreams. And men servant and maid servant, they would also prophesy. The verse 18 indicates that. Beloved, what is the need for all these categories? One thing that I can draw out of these categories is that God is trying to let us understand that age is not a barrier to the pouring of his spirit. Sex, be a male or female, is not a barrier to the receiving of his spirit. And also condition, being a servant or a master, is also not a barrier. And so he covered all and indicated in the verse 18 that the same spirit, my spirit, will be poured on the maid and then the men servants. People that probably at that time they are looked down upon. He said, my same spirit will be poured on them, and they shall also prophesy. And so the Lord, our God that we are serving, who has called us into this new covenant ministry, had placed no barrier before anyone. He had placed no hindrance before anyone. Age should not scare you. Your height should not scare you. Your color should not scare you. Your geographical location should not scare you. Because God made it very clear in this text that he respects all conditions. And he will pour out his spirit upon all. He did not leave anyone uncovered. And so that should be our encouragement today. That do not look down upon yourself. God can use you in that little corner if only you'd make yourself available for him. You can receive his power to do exploits if only you yearn for him. If only you seek for that, your life will never be the same. The second sign is, we shall see signs and wonders of God. In the verse 19 to 20, the Bible says that God will show wonders in the heavens and signs on the earth. And here Christ also told us something in the book of John 14 verse 12. That most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And when he goes to the Father, the result is that he let down the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. And as a result, he said that the works that he did, we will do. Those greater works we will do. And even greater than that shall we do. The Lord we are serving is all-powerful God. He is a mighty God. And he is telling us that we will be witnesses. We will see them. And if you believe it, you'll be a partaker of these greater works. And all these, the Bible says that they are an indicator telling us of the end time, the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so in Jeremiah chapter 23 verse 24b, he said that he filled the heavens and the earth. He's all powerful. That we have to know that this is the Lord that we are serving. That all these will happen in the last days. Then the last sign is that salvation shall also abound. The verse 21. Because of the power of the Holy Spirit, that would abound, that would be with us. That would give us conviction of sin. That would guide us. That would instruct us. As a result of that, salvation shall abound. Today we can all testify of the fact that access to biblical information are very rampant. They are everywhere. Applications giving us devotions on our mobile phones are so many. Internet emails dropping in with devotions are so many. Words of encouragement all across from friends and from people that you have not even know, you have no idea. They send us information. Salvation abound. The word is all over. That is why Jesus Christ said in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. It must reach to the unreached. It must get to where it must be neglected before the end come. Beloved in Christ, the Holy Spirit encounter will come with power to do extraordinary things, even including speaking in new tongues, according to the power of God's Spirit enablement. The ability of prophesying, the ability of seeing visions and dreaming dreams are all just a symbol to tell us that our God has varieties of gifts to give to us if we shall yearn for them. These are not the only gifts that the Spirit of God gives to his people. But this is to just tell us that there are varieties of them. And so yours may not fall into this, but it's still the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of hospitality. The gift of love. The gift of being patient. All are gifts of the Holy Ghost. That takes us to the second section of our sermon. That is the prophecy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which I'll quickly run through for the sake of time. The text two in that particular area is considered from the verse 22 to 36. And in that particular text, we can see that the prophecy of our Lord Jesus Christ was being confirmed. The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ that preceded the day of Pentecost was of so much importance to the faith that we have. And also to help connect the old covenant ministry to the new covenant ministry. And so at that point, Apostle Peter continued with his sermon on the prophecy of the Old Testament, authenticating the new covenant ministry that which they were witnessing at that very moment. So he said, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested or approved by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourself also know. He quoted this to let them know that Jesus Christ was approved by God by signs and wonders that God did through him. And yet the people did not believe him. And they handed him over to sinful men to be crucified. Jesus Christ came with the power given to him unmeasured. The book of John chapter 3 verse 34 indicates that. And so he came to fulfill the prophecy that was spoken of him. And in this text that we will be, that if you have time, you go through and then you read it, you will realize that there were four prophecies that were said about our Lord Jesus Christ. That is Christ's death foretold in the verse 23. The Bible says, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put him to death. And in the book of Isaiah 53, verse 8 and 9, it says, for he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Christ went through all this humiliation and was crucified on the cross naked, simply because of our sins, our wickedness. And all of these were meant to satisfy God's divine justice that was meant to save me, was meant to save you. And that could be found in Romans chapter 8, verse 32. The second sign was Christ's resurrection foretold. The verse 24 to 32, we can find that one too over there. Where King David prophesied about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ in Psalm 16, verse 8 to 11. They knew that King David died. And at the time he prophesied, he was still king. Yet he prophesied about somebody that is to come. He foresaw all those things and prophesied about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so he said, it is not possible for the flesh of our Lord Jesus Christ to see corruption or decay, if you read the text. And it is not possible for the soul of our Lord Jesus Christ to remain in Hades or hell, because it is to fulfill God's divine justice by leading and then losing us from the power of sin and of death. Because he resurrected, because he did not remain in the grave, today, you and I, we have hope. Should Christ had not resurrected from the dead, we would have been the most miserable people on earth. But because he resurrected, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, that Christ in you, tell your neighbor, Christ in you is the hope of glory. That is our hope, because we have Christ in us. And this Christ, death could not hold him down. Hades could not hold him there. He had victory over death. And that is our victory. The third one is Christ Jesus' ascension to heaven, which is also found in verse 33 to 35. Again, King David prophesied about this in Psalm 110, verse 1, that the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Hallelujah. King David saw this whilst he was still in the flesh. He saw it. He saw the victory that we have. He saw Christ's victory over sin, Christ's victory over death. And that victory too is our victory today. Because the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6, that and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. He raised us up and we are seated. We are seated with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. That is our portion. We reign. It was a prophecy that came to pass. And finally, God made Jesus Lord and Christ. The verse 36. people of God, today we are also receiving the full confirmation of the scriptures, of the prophecy that was foretold. And therefore, our response today must be in submission to our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Lord and Christ. And that would enable us to get out of our prejudices as the people were having. And we step up into publishing the gospel everywhere we find ourselves. There's no more time to waste. For the days are going to be tougher and tougher. That which we are witnessing today are just the iceberg of what is about to happen. The challenges are going to be much tougher. And so it's a challenge for you. It's a challenge for me to step up. To step up and get out of any prejudices and embrace the power of the Holy Ghost that would empower us to stand for the Lord and publish the gospel. For the kingdom of God is at hand. The coming is at hand because the last days had already begun. And we are getting deeper and deeper into it. And so that takes us to the last part of Apostle Peter's sermon. That we can find that too from the verse 37 to 41. And so, if all these are really true, then how should our attitude be? The last part of Apostle Peter's sermon gave the response of the people of the Old Covenant ministry. The people said to Apostle Peter, after having heard of all that Apostle Peter had said, he said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" For the word that they heard cut into their heart. The word that they heard brought a conviction in their heart. And so they then turned to them, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Is that your cry today? Is that your cry today that what shall I do? That I will step up to fulfill God's purpose for my life. To fulfill his mandate for my life. In our dispensation, we all need the power of the Holy Ghost. We all need the power of the Holy Ghost to be effective ministers of the new covenant ministry. Because God has called us into the new covenant ministry. No more in the old covenant ministry. And so in the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth." You shall receive power. And that power is what we are going to call for. With the next few minutes, as we come to the end of our sermon, I want to encourage you. Are you weak in embarking on your ministry, what God has called you to do? Do you feel sometimes inadequate? Or do you feel sometimes so broken that you cannot do anything? This doesn't seem to hold together for you. I'm here to tell you that the power of the Holy Ghost is there to give you strength. Because the Bible said that Christ said that we should ask of the Father to give us his spirit. He said, even we who are evil know how to give good gifts to our children. When they ask us for bread, we'll give them stone. When they ask us for fish, we'll give them snake. How much more he who is righteous, that he won't give us his spirit when we ask of him. Today, are you ready to ask of the Spirit of God to strengthen you? You are a young graduate. You are about to finish this June. But the challenge here is, what next after school? You are thinking, how is job search going to be? How is marriage going to be? How is this going to be? But I can show you the one that knows the future, the Holy Spirit. If you seek him today, he will lead you, because the Bible says he's our guide. He teaches. He comforts. All that we may be afraid of, I can assure you today, seek the Spirit of the living God. For many of us, we treat him as if he doesn't exist. The most neglected partner in God's Trinity is the Holy Spirit. We get out the whole day. Some of us don't communicate. We don't have fellowship with him. We move out of our house. We communicate through all other medium. But we don't spend time to talk with the Holy Spirit for guidance, for anything. And yet we complain we are lowly. The Spirit of God is much lowly in us than any other person. We have no fellowship with him. And today, if you are here and you don't know Christ, it will be difficult to have fellowship with the Holy Ghost. And you need a relationship with Christ before you can be in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That you may be full of him. to lead a life of power that God has destined for your soul. And so I entreat all to be on our feet as we come before the Lord. As you ponder about the power of the Holy Ghost, just begin to think about your own life. Where have you fallen short? Just a quick one. As I was preparing this message, one of the nights, the Spirit of God burdened my heart so much of how sinful people has become before Him. How godless. How we fear shame, disappointment, acceptance than we fear evil. We have sold our conscience to evil. Our life today, we act as if we have no conscience. As if we don't reason. And that has affected our faith. It has affected our life. It has affected the outproduct of our life. Because we lack the conscience to do the right thing. We sold them to fame. We sold them to so many things in life. To fun and to things that do not last. But today, I'm here to tell you, God is still interested of our lives. If we will come back to Him, He will receive us. If we will call on Him, He will hear us and answer us. And I want to challenge you to begin to call on God. Whichever area you feel you fall short, just call on Him. Father, I have come. I might have neglected you for too long. I have come to renew our fellowship, renew my strength, that I will stay in fellowship with you. I would see you as my partner, the one that goes along with me, that in everything I will discuss with you. I will not go and face the difficulties before I'll come back to the Spirit of God and ask for direction. But before everything, I will talk with you. Just talk to God and plead that the Spirit of God should renew your heart, to renew your mind, should empower you to become conscious of His Spirit in you. That when He wants you, you will know. When He directs you, you will know. When He teaches you, you will know. Just talk to God that, Lord, I need you. I need your Holy Spirit. I need your presence in my life. I need to acknowledge you in every step that I take. I need to have you at the center of my life. I will not go ahead of you. I will trust you in every step that I take. Father, Lord, we bless you, Lord, and worship you. We magnify your holy name, O God. You are our living King, Savior, and Friend. Our Heavenly Father, we give you all the glory today. We give you all the honor, Lord. Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. You admonish us, O Lord, that we should be drunk with you, Lord. We should be filled with you, Lord. Which is an indicator to tell us that, Lord, in all that we do, Lord, we should look up to you. You are our friend. You are our teacher. You are our comforter. You are our helper. Lord, Holy Spirit, renew us, O Lord. Renew us once again. Renew our relationship, Lord. Our relationship with you, Lord. Renew us, Lord, Holy Spirit. Strengthen us, O God, the awareness to know that you are with us. Father, help us, O Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father. We bless you, Lord, our King. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.